You know, it was once in a lifetime experience. In fact, you could only do it once in your life. And many never ever got the privilege because there were way more priests than could ever fulfill the jobs in the temple. And the burning of incense was the most prestigious of all the duties. His division was on duty, but it would only be for 2 weeks. And so the odds were against it, but this day the lot had fallen to Zechariah. And he was, I'm sure, nervous, but his robes were perfect, and he adjusted his ephod, made sure the tassels were just right. Nothing could be amiss. The incense represented the prayers of the people, and the focus of all those worshipers would be on him today. And it was supposed to be pretty straightforward. An officer ministering at the temple would signal him, and it was time to go in. He would go into the holy place where the incense altar was. He would place the incense on the altar, and then he would bow prostrate before the altar. He would get up, and he would leave. It's a great honor. It's also one of those things that if you messed it up, someone would be sure to tell you, you only had one job to do. So Zechariah went in. And so Zechariah goes in and the people are praying. And they're waiting. And they continue praying and waiting. And pretty soon it's like, what's taking him so long? Dad, my knees are hurting. You know, I mean, this is like, shh, be quiet. You know, the elbows are starting to fly. Why hasn't he come back out yet? Well, when Zechariah went into the holy place, he met an angel there. And Zechariah's reaction was that he was troubled, it says, and fear fell upon him. The angel says, don't be afraid. They say that a lot, don't they? Your prayers have been heard, and your wife is going to have a son. Now, this would be John the Baptist, who will prepare a way for the Messiah. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth were old now. I figure that Zechariah and Elizabeth stopped praying that prayer about 15 or 20 years ago. Now you do this? Zechariah asked, how? How is this going to happen? We're old. How is this impossible thing going to happen? And it's almost like the angel is offended. Okay, because he says, hey, I'm Gabriel. You know, it's like he's going, do you know who you're talking to here? I am Gabriel. I stand before the throne of God. He sent me to you, and because you wouldn't believe, you won't be able to talk until this thing happens. Now, while Zechariah's inside, the people, they, you know, they're outside. They're starting to cast lots. So he's going to have to go in and fetch him. Not really. But he comes out, and he can't talk. And his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, just as Gabriel said. Well, we fast forward 6 months, and Gabriel visits again. This time it's a young girl. Her name is Mary. Some scholars say she could have been as young as 12 years old. Likely she was no older than 16 or 17. So just make a guess, 14 or 15 years old. We got 15-year-old Mary, and she is engaged to Joseph. The angel says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Guess what? Mary was greatly troubled, and the angel says, don't be afraid. You're just a teenager, but you're going to be tasked with carrying and giving birth and raising the Son of God who will save you from your sins. But don't be afraid. Right? You're engaged to be married, and you're just going to show up pregnant by the Holy Spirit in a culture where adultery can be a stoning offense. But don't be afraid. Your life is going to forever change from this moment. You will become an outcast. You will lose friends. No one will believe you. They'll think you're crazy or you're just an immoral liar. But don't be afraid. But Mary doesn't bring any of this up to the angel. She still has a how. She says, well, how will this happen since I am a virgin? She's an adolescent girl. She's already been told about the facts of life. I'm engaged. I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen? Because it's not possible. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Gabriel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and your child will be God's son. He says, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age. She has conceived a son, and she is now in the sixth month. That's a sign for Mary. You know, they're probably going to talk over the dinner table about poor Zechariah and cousin Elizabeth. She just couldn't have children. They always wanted children. They always wanted a son. They couldn't have children. And, And now they're just too old. But the angel told her Elizabeth was pregnant. Well, how? How is this all going to happen? And the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. You know, some of us today, like Zechariah, like Mary, are deeply troubled. And we're afraid. You're facing some kind of situation that seems impossible, and all you can wonder is how. How is this going to be resolved? How am I going to survive this? How will this not devastate me? It is a health issue. It is a personal financial crisis. It is marital stress or even infidelity or some other relationship strain. How? How? Can you trust the angel's words? Nothing is impossible with God. Because if you can trust those words and trust the way God works them out in your life, you don't have to wallow in wondering how. And instead, you can live in hope. See, the Christmas account teaches us that no matter how hopeless things seem, there is always hope with the Lord. And so you can move from how to hope when you realize that God has done the impossible in the past. Mary asked how. Well, is anything too difficult from the Lord? The angel says, just 6 months ago, God did another impossible thing. Elizabeth became pregnant. You know, I'm sure Mary was taught the scriptures, stories of Abraham and Sarah, of Rebekah and Isaac, of Jacob and Rachel. Hannah, all had children that shouldn't have been born, except that God did the impossible. She would have known of other impossible feats accomplished by the power of God, walking through a divided Red Sea on dry ground, walls of a great city falling because somebody blew some trumpets, Hebrews, three teens surviving a fiery furnace. And when you realize how many impossible things God has done in the past, it should give you hope because God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God makes the impossible possible, and it brings hope when things seem hopeless. And you know, sometimes God just might even tell us how. And even if He did, I expect we don't have the full capacity to understand it. Do you think Mary really understood the power of God will overshadow you and you will conceive by the Holy Spirit? I don't think she understood that. I don't. Romans 11 says the depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. She didn't understand that, just like we don't understand so much today, but she accepted it. God has been faithful in the past. He will be faithful in the future. And so have hope in your troubles and fears. You know, more often I think God chooses to withhold the how. He also can withhold the when. We can move from how to hope when we realize that God doesn't work on human timetables. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Will, it's going to happen. It hasn't happened just quite yet. In Mary's case, it's going to happen right away. But really, you know, Mary wasn't even looking for the impossible to happen. But Israel has been. Israel has been looking for the Messiah to come. For hundreds of years, the prophets spoke of the Messiah. And for the last 400 years, no prophet had spoken to Israel. And they felt like they were walking in darkness. They felt hopeless. When is God going to work? They wanted it on their timetable. They'd been subject to all these foreign nations, and now it's their time. But even with Mary, there was waiting. This impossible thing God was doing through her, it's more than just a birth, okay? Yes, she has to wait. She waits three trimesters for a little one to be born. But she also waits 30 years for Him to begin His earthly ministry as Messiah. And this waiting was filled with pain because at the end of His ministry, there was the cross. And after the cross, she waited again. She waited 3 days this time, but hope was revived. She still didn't know how, but the resurrection happened. And that is the culmination of you shall call His name Jesus, and of His kingdom there will be no end. You know, not only do we want God to do the impossible thing in our life, we want it now. We want it right now. I think that's because we don't want to wait, because we think when God does the impossible, it will make our life easier. Don't be fooled into thinking just because God might grant your request that seems impossible, that your life would get easier. God did the impossible in Mary's life, and it didn't make her life easier. It made her life harder. But God gave her grace to be faithful throughout it all. Nothing is impossible with God. But you might have to wait. You know, one thing I noticed as I prepared this week is when God does impossible things, it's not because we're sad down here. He just wants to make our lives happy and pretty. God always has a kingdom purpose in mind when he does the impossible. And so I think that we can move from how to hope when we place you place yourself in the middle of God's perfect will. See, there's a kingdom purpose when God does impossible things. When we see our lives aren't the way we think they should be, we fret, we fume, we are troubled and afraid. But God doesn't work on our whims. His thoughts are beyond our comprehension. He knows what's best for us, and he will allow circumstances in our lives that will guide us, maybe even prod us, if necessary, into the direction of his will. Mary says, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. And I want to ask you today, is that your attitude when God is working in your life? Is it your attitude when he's working in your life, but it's not turning out the way you want it to turn out? It's not the way you planned it. You see, Mary's not crying, "Why me?" Or "I had different plans. It's too hard. I can't do it. Find somebody else." She is firmly established in fulfilling the will of God with her hope in knowing that if she is in God's will, God will give her what she needs to accomplish the task. And the angel said, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Are you completely surrendered to remaining under the shadow of God's perfect will? Even if it's not what you dreamed or what you want, or if it's difficult. You see, if you're in God's will, you don't have to worry about the how. You can just trust that God will see you through, and in the end, you will come out like pure gold. There's your hope. Our hope should not be rooted in that our life becomes easier. It should be rooted in that the kingdom is advanced, that God's agenda moves forward. And so are you content to remain under God's will? And if it is not God's will to remove that difficult mountain you're facing, are you content with that? Are you content that he may not do the impossible that you want? Maybe he'll accomplish a different impossible that you're not thinking of. Maybe instead of removing the mountain or the thorn, maybe he just gives you the grace to endure it. And by your endurance and faith in God, God gets the glory and his kingdom is advanced. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Right? That means I can do anything whenever I want, right? I can win the tournament because I can do everything through God who strengthens me. I'm gonna hit that three-pointer. I'm going to make that touchdown. That's not what that means. That is not what that verse means. This verse is given to us in the context of being content in the midst of difficulties. And that verse is perfect for Mary. Mary, you're going to carry the Christ child in your body for 9 months. You're going to carry him in your heart your entire life. It is going to be so hard. You're going to watch him die on a cross. You're going to have to sacrifice a lot for this. Can you do it? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And see, this is the part where I get to tell you it's not about you. God can just as easily choose not to do the impossible in your life because that's what's best for you. And it will bring more glory to God. And so are you willing to stay in the shadow of God's perfect will? When God says, and maybe you don't like what he says, how will you respond? Are you going to respond like Eve responded? Eve Well, God really said this. See, she changed God's word. She didn't have it right. Or are you gonna respond like Paul preached against in Romans 6, which is, well, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do that, and so it's easier for me just to do what I want to do and then ask God for forgiveness later. Just go sin more so grace can abound. That's not what Mary did. Are you going to respond like Jonah? Just say no and run away? Or you can respond like Mary. Let it be to me as the Lord has said. It's when you move outside of the shadow of the Lord's will that you lose His protection. And life truly becomes a how situation. You begin to suffer the consequences of drifting away, and you become lukewarm, and your life is out of alignment with God's. And that's when your hope wanes. But when you are firmly in the will of God, you will always have hope because His plan is higher and His grace is sufficient. And so when the angel left, Mary went to stay with Elizabeth for a while. Mary had this big pity party, right? She whined and carried on and blamed everyone for her ruined life. Oh, wait, that's not in the Bible, is it? That's not there. No, when she went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth's baby jumped in her womb. And Elizabeth told Mary how blessed she was among women. And this is Mary's response. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So you can move from how to hope when your praise for God doesn't depend on the outcome. You're just going to praise God no matter what happens. Mary's going to have a hard life. And that's not lost on her. Some of the scorn and the pain she will endure would probably make us shut down. But she is going to have a blessed life because she's going to be used greatly by God. And she praises God no matter what. When you are kingdom focused, earthly things begin to matter less and less. The more you live for Christ, the more you are going to die to the world and its ways. And when your praise centers on who Christ is, instead of what's going on in your life, the how begins to matter less and less. And your hope grows greater and greater. Because you are living for the eternal one. Your citizenship is in heaven, and you are waiting for a home there. The glory of that home and your eternal life far outweigh any impossible circumstance on this earth that you want God to eliminate. I want to share some final thoughts here. First, about our expectations. It seems that God usually does the impossible when we least expect it, right? Mary wasn't expecting a thing, but later, when the Jews demanded a sign from Jesus, He just told them no. And then He says, all right, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it again. And He told them, you're going to kill me, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. That's the sign they didn't want. All right? Be careful what you demand and expect. The unexpected. Second is about our priorities. In John 14, Jesus was talking about the people that they believed based on the miracles, based on those impossible acts that He did. And yet He told His disciples, you will do greater things. And I believe those greater things is winning souls. And it gets back to the kingdom purpose that God has when He does impossible things. There are things more important than eliminating our troubles. What should trouble us more is that people are going to hell, and God wants to use you to do greater things to bring them to Christ. So make sure your priorities concerning what you think is impossible are kingdom priorities. And finally, about our faith capacity, Jesus told one man that wanted his son healed. He said, everything is possible for him who believes. And yet the man He was talking to said, I believe, help my unbelief. And I believe that all of us are somewhere on the spectrum of I believe, but help my unbelief. Some of us may be really, really low on the I believe and really big on the God, I need you to help my unbelief. But I don't think there's anybody here who has made it all the way to I believe without any doubt ever at all. And so maybe the impossible thing God needs to do in us is to just bring her close, bring us closer to a point of unquestioning faith. That no matter what God does, whether we have our questions answered or not, that we give our troubles and our fears to God and we trust Him to do what's best for His kingdom. Folks, if we can learn anything from a little girl from Nazareth, it is to set aside our hows and to place our hope in the eternal God Most High. And to say to Him, let it be according to Your word. And then let's just get excited while we wait to see the great and impossible things that God will do through you for His kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day that You've given us today. Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes and our hearts to the things that You would do through us. Lord, the things that we might say we don't want to do, the things that we might say we can't do, Lord, if they are for Your kingdom, just move in and make us work according to Your will. And Lord, for those of us who hesitate to obey, help our unbelief. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.